know you can't meditate. If you a freak, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here on ESPN 850 WKNR. I am Jim Donovan, and today, both Nathan and Matt off today. Jason Gibbs joins me on the show. He's always on the show, but he joins me as my co-host today. As Jason, I feel today, as I sit here in Berea right now to open up this show, like I own the Cleveland Browns today. There is nobody in the building today.
I was going to ask.
To say it's a skeleton crew here today would be overstating it. I mean, the Browns are really kind of on summer vacation right now before the busyness of training camp starts up. And I mean to tell you, I didn't even know where the lights were in the beautiful radio fishbowl or dog bowl or wherever they call it here. I didn't even know how to turn the lights on. And luckily, Dan Murphy from the Public Relations Department is here working on the media guide, and he came in and hit a couple of switches, and Dan said, let there be light, and there was light, and here we are. But this is strange, because this place is always hustling and bustling all times of the year. But they deserve it before, you know, they hit the grind.
I was going to say, this is their final opportunity to recharge the batteries before the people behind the scenes start the 2015-16 season. I'm shocked. I figured they would have the media guide done. They were cramming last Thursday at like 2 a.m. still to finish that.
He was still kind of tweaking it as I walked by. The spelling of Pryor, P-R-Y-O-R for Terrell Pryor coming in here. Hey, I was driving down today, driving here into Berea, and I was listening to Riz on the Really Big Show when I was driving in, and I was wondering about what the topics might be on his show. And, you know, how's everybody taking the temperature of everybody on what's going on with the Cavaliers right now? Of course, with the NBA free agency and everybody opting out, LeBron opting out, Kevin Love opting out, J.R. Smith opting out, everybody's, you know, if you have the opportunity, opt out. And, you know, if everybody's concerned about that. So I kind of took the temperature listening the last 45 minutes of the Really Big Show. And it was funny, when I get in the car, the topic was, all right, we go to Jason in a car phone. Jason, the question is, can Johnny play?
It never ends, Jim.
It never ends. And then the next thing on the hotline, Michael Simon, the Iron Chef, calls in, ticked off that people are saying, no, he can't play, Riz. There's no question about it. He cannot play. He called in from a car phone, and he called in and said, hey, you got to get off the bit. This is insane. You got to let this guy play. So it doesn't go away, does it? It really does not go away. The fascination with Johnny Manziel and whether or not he can play and what kind of game he will play when we finally see him play in the NFL, hoping, of course, it's better than it was last year. But he still is a primary story, Jason, coming into training camp in a couple of weeks.
Well,
even though he's definitely not the starting quarterback. You and I agree on that right now?
100%.
Yeah, okay. I mean, even though he's not the quarterback, Jason, he is a primary story.
Well, and it's all because of the Bengals defensive coordinator coming out, Jeremy Fowler, a guy that we see out in Berea and work with periodically.
Sure.
The ESPN senior NFL writer, I guess, had a few minutes with defensive coordinator Paul Gunther, who we all know what Johnny's debut was like in Cleveland last year against
Bengals. I would say Paul Gunther won that one.
Yeah, just a little bit. It could be 1-0 Paul right now. But I guess he had a few minutes with Jeremy, and he said, honestly, I think the kid needs more time before anyone writes him off. Drew Brees did it. I know Drew is a little bit thicker than Johnny, but about the same height. I don't see any reason why he can't do it up there. Manziel was such a high-profile guy out of college, and everyone expected what he did at A&M. But it's a man's game. It's a lot different, and it takes time. You have to take your lumps a little bit.
So the telephone number here is 216-578-0850. If you want to call in and continue on that theme, I have some definite ideas. Jason, I'm sure you have some ideas on what's going on. And we saw it up close and personal when he finally got into the games last year at the stadium against Cincinnati and right up until halftime in Carolina. And then, bang, it ended, okay? But we definitely saw it. We saw Not a lot of good. We saw a lot of bad. We saw a lot of a rookie quarterback coming in late in a year and not 100%, obviously, you know, checked into the NFL game in preparation, and whether the game plan was well suited or perfectly suited for him or correctly tailored for him, that is open for debate. But, I mean, still coming into training camp, people still want to know, is this guy able to play in the NFL? Can he contribute? Not even more so, Jason, not that he can he play here, but can he just play in the league, I think, is something I was hearing people call in this morning just before we went on the air and give their insight about. And a lot of people are saying no. Now, I think it is early to make that kind of determination. It wasn't good. It was definitely not good. It was not good against Cincinnati, and it really wasn't good at all against Carolina until he went out injured. But, I mean, I just don't think you can come up with a verdict on him yet as to whether or not he can play in the league.
I think that, you know, you saw that glimmer of hope in the Buffalo game where he had that right. Nice long drive and went down the field, let him, got a touchdown, and you got some momentum, and you think, right. Okay, well, he could do this. Mm-hmm. There's something within you that says that guy can play. But then you see what happened in the Bengals game, and things continue to spiral out of control, and maybe some of his off-field things were contributing to that.
Yeah, right, sure.
So I don't know what to expect. I know, and I'm really happy, that he's not the number one guy right now, that we have a guy that we think can be that guy in Josh McCown, and – you know, we're not talking about him breathing down anybody's throat right now.
No, not at all. Whereas last year at this time, when they were getting set to go into training camp, there was a strong wing of support from fans and even some people in here, even before he stepped foot out onto the practice field, that thought that one-on-one against Brian Hoyer, he would be able to, in a matter of 4 weeks during training camp, maybe get into the preseason, outplay Hoyer, that he might start the season. But, Jason, I think you'll agree with me on this too, that certainly by game 4 of the regular season last year, a lot of people felt he will take over as the starting quarterback of the Browns, and boom, the Johnny Manziel era will be underway, and they'll start the development, and we'll see whatever magic he has. I really thought that last year at this time, a couple of weeks away from training camp, that was the belief in Cleveland and being really enforced by the national media too, who were on their way to Berea to cover him daily.
I think we all did. I think we all thought in Tennessee we'd have a new quarterback.
Right.
And, you know, to credit Brian Hoyer, whether you were a fan of Brian Hoyer or you weren't a fan of Brian Hoyer, I mean, he got you through 11 games of the season before things got to the point where the Browns felt they needed to make a change at quarterback. And I thought that was a good thing. Now, this year, you know, I don't see that same thing. I don't see us looking at the schedule going, when's Johnny Manziel going to get in? You know, it looks to be Josh McCown, who has impressed during the offseason. Now, they're playing in shorts. Some days they're in helmets.
Yeah.
It's glorified touch.
Right.
But you see a guy that has a little more pocket presence. And you see clearly that he is head and shoulders right now above Manziel, in my opinion, from what I saw Johnny during minicamp and OTAs.
Yeah, no question about it.
The learning curve, I think, is a little bit bigger now. Now it's going to be – you know, not having to deal with, you know, not dealing with a quarterback controversy. I think that's fantastic for this football team.
Well, before we go to, and we have a couple of callers on the line, before we go to the telephones, and we'll check in with you, you can kind of steer, you can steer Jason and I through the show here today. We can talk clearly about the quarterback position. We can talk about I would like to get some of your ideas out there as to, on a perfect Sunday, when the Browns are playing this regular season and they win a game, how are they going to do that? How would you see the blueprint for a Browns win during the regular season on a Sunday afternoon? How will they do it? Will they put up a ton of points? Will they grind the game down and play it like the Jets did when Mike Pettine was with Rex Ryan? Will they control the game defensively and with a really deep commitment to run the football, keep the game under control? How will they do it? Will they be the cardiac kids again, like they showed some kind of you know, tendencies to be that way last year? And will they imitate those cardiac kids of 1980? How are they going to do it? How will they win? How do you see them visually pulling games out on Sunday afternoon? Give me their recipe if you want. You want to go to the telephones, Jason, right now?
We can definitely do that.
Let's do that. Sam is on a cell. Hi, Sam. Jim Donovan, Jason Gibbs with you on Cleveland Browns Daily. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. This is the first time I'm calling. I got a couple comments on both your topics. Let me preface this, but I did play college football for John Carroll. I am a Steeler fan, but I live with Frank Ryan for the Cleveland Browns while I was in Carroll. So I got a good education on how to play quarterback.
Yes.
Number one, does Johnny have the tools to play in NFL? Yes, he does, because he had the tools to play major college football.
Mm-hmm.
If he has the mental approach like he did last year, he will fail in the NFL most definitely.
Okay, and he would agree with you on that, because that's what he said in his one meeting with the press just before they broke out of minicamp. So he, you know, at least verbally, he is saying exactly what you just said.
Okay. Now, if you eliminate his alcohol and drug or whatever he was on, he's
right.
Okay. Now, if he can apply himself, you know, and put the work in, because I used to work out with Frank Rand and John Carroll every Tuesdays and Thursdays,
mm-hmm.
and he went through his regiment for 2 hours. We would work out.
Right.
And he would do that, and he would study the playbook. If he does that, then he has a chance to play in the NFL, because he doesn't have the ability to stand in the pocket and throw off rushers and hang in there and throw the ball one hand down the field and complete the pass.
Right.
He has to be able to make his quick reads, get the ball out, and get out of there, not ahead of time, but at the right time to put the defense in a disadvantage, because he runs out of the pocket. And that all comes from being awareness in the pocket,
right,
and studying and knowing the right offense and knowing where the defense is.
Yep.
So, you know.
All right.
You know, and then the other thing about the Browns.
Yes.
I think the Browns will go back. I hope they do, because this makes it fun to watch, that they will be ball control, running, possession passes,
yeah,
go down the field a lot.
Right.
But And they do have the ability to come back, but I think they want to get ahead in the game,
right,
possess the ball, control the ball.
Right. Get into a four-minute offense, run it down. Okay. Well, he made a lot of good points, Jason.
He did.
He made a lot of good points. The amazing thing that he touched upon is preparation. And when you really talk to these guys or listen to these guys who are great at the position of quarterback nowadays in the NFL, Brady, you mentioned Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, I'm sure Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers. It's amazing the commitment to preparation that those guys take. You wonder if those guys, during this period of time where really the NFL takes its last deep breath vacation break before they go into training camp, if those guys even take the break and are just not, you know, doing anything with football. I kind of think the way they are so always wanting to be better and get better, that they're constantly at it in some form. And then once they go into training camp, they're totally, you know, devoted to it.
Well,
and that's something that Johnny's going to have to learn how to do.
Well, and that's, you know, Gerard Sherry talks about it all the time. After the Patriots lost a game,
yep,
which rarely happens, but it
because of Gerard.
Correct. Exactly. But, like, he mentioned a couple times, coming back from a road loss,
mm-hmm,
you know, you're tired, you're battered, you just want to go home and sleep in your own bed,
right,
and rest up. He would go right to the facility after a road loss and be up all night studying tape. He would know by morning. He would have broken down the tape before the coaches will have seen everything.
Sure. Yeah.
And know what he did wrong, know what he has to work on, and he would be ready to go already for the following week. Let's get the game plan in. I know what I did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I know what even if Johnny does all that, is Johnny good enough physically to overcome that?
You and I were standing in the end zone at minicamp.
Yes.
And I just want to throw this out to everybody. And you know what? Continue to give us your insight and your calls at 216 – what's the telephone number again?
That's all right. 216-578-0850.
Right. All right. So keep the calls coming. But you and I were standing there. Now, you are you're several feet taller than me. And, you know, and I'm not sugarcoating that. I think mathematically you are several feet taller than me. Johnny Manziel is not. I mean, Johnny Manziel can and I can probably talk eye to eye. And the two of us were watching him at one stretch where he's directly in front of us operating the offense. And this is not his fault, but this is reality. And there were a couple of times we turned to each other and said, there is no way he can see.
Not a chance.
Over the line at defensive linemen or linebackers, I dare say, blitzing at him with hands up in the air. And I thought a couple of plays when he stayed in the pocket, which is, you know, where a lot of people want him to learn how to live and play. When he stayed in the pocket, I thought he just threw to a couple of blind spots where he thought the play was going to be and that somebody would be in the neighborhood to catch the pass. Yeah, what did you think?
Same thing. I think he saw the guy at midfield with a step or two on a defender, right. And he threw it over the line going, I think he's going to be right there.
Yeah, and that's not his fault. I mean, no. that's his height. The other thing is that it was, I think it was Chris Palmer told me, because Chris, aside from being the head coach of the Browns for the first 2 years when they came back, was well known as a guy that handled quarterbacks. And he's handled a lot of them in his career. And I asked him about, you know, Tim Couch was the quarterback when Chris had the team. And Tim Couch was a bigger guy, but Tim Couch liked to get out of the pocket. And he wanted him to stay in the pocket, just like a lot of people want Manziel or any quarterback to stay in the pocket. But he said that all young quarterbacks want to get out. It's just a natural reaction to hit the eject button and get out of the pocket because they were able to do it easily and with success in college, but not necessarily so in the NFL. That's why these coordinators and these quarterback coaches, you know, just try and beat it into these guys, get comfortable and stay in the pocket. Let the pocket have a chance, you know, to give you the freedom of being able to go through these progressions. But once you roll out like that, I mean, you're cutting the field down. Algebra would tell you that. I mean, you're just cutting the field down. And he said all young quarterbacks do it. Colt McCoy did it. Brady Quinn did it. I mean, everybody did it, you know. Brian Hoyer did it a little bit.
Yeah, but does that make Johnny more successful if he can roll out because he can see the field?
No, because I think that when he rolls out, and what I saw in the Cincinnati game and again in the Carolina game, when he rolls out, you just logistically cut the field down. They say you cut it down by at least a third, you know, when you roll out to either the severe left or severe right, you're narrowing your throwing lane. Now, if he wants to go back over the middle and launch one, when he wants to do that, Jason, then you get your bad mechanics. You know, then he's lobbing the ball up, which definitely worked at Texas A&M. Okay, it definitely worked. It worked against Alabama and those SEC teams. He had the type of receivers that could go up and get the ball. They were taller than these defensive backs, and he could do it. But when he did that against the Bengals, he had those balls picked off. And it doesn't work, I don't think. And it's not just because of him. I don't think it works for anybody. I think that rollout thing is very, very, you know, if you definitely know where the pass is going to go, and you definitely know that guy's going to be there, and you're going to get a third down and four pass and find the chains, absolutely. But if you're going to live on that, I don't think you're going to live long in the NFL. And I'm not even talking about getting hurt. I'm just saying being effective. We're going to take a break here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll go back to the telephone lines and talk to you, 216-578-0850. Ken, what's the Browns quarterback situation? Are you comfortable with it a couple of weeks from training camp? And when the Browns win on a Sunday, and we hope they win a lot, tell me visually what the game's going to be like. What's it going to look like? Low scoring? High scoring? A lot of running? A lot of passing? Are they going to open it up? Will they be trick plays? How will they do it? Will they be great defensively? Are we going to have a kicker that we can rely on? If you're going to play close games, you might have to do that. We'll go back with you, Jason Gibbs, Jim Donovan with you on Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR.